We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Wirth Harley-Davidson. Online at WirthHarleyDavidson.com for new and used bikes. And bike nights every Thursday night at I-29 and Tiffany Springs. Why the hell not? You're worth it. I-29 and Tiffany Springs.
Your teams, your town, your program.
See what Gibbs on the next pitch. And here it comes on Rendon. He swings, lifts it in the air into right center field. Chasing after it are the outfielders. And that ball's going to bang off the wall. That's going to score a pair. Well, he didn't hit a homer, but he drives in both runners. It's 2-0 Angels. Here's the 0-2. That's a liner. It's going to fall into right field. And that's going to drive in a run. Hit it for second is Iglesias. Angels get a run. Have runners at second and third. Duet on. It's now 3-1 Halos. Here's the pitch. No side of one. And he hits a flare in the left center. That's going to drive in one run. Another run will come in as well. And Wong delivers. He drives in two. The lead grows. It's 5-1 Angels.
And now, trying to do what Brad Keller could not do last night, get through the lineup a third time, Todd Lebo.
Trying to. You know, they say it's just the third time through is better, right?
I think so.
I thought that was the worst.
Well, I'm the batter.
Oh, I see.
I'm the batter. I'm not the pitcher.
No, you be the pitcher. You're trying
You're pitching, Jed, and I'm going to work it over today. No, I don't know. Third time is a charm, maybe?
Could be.
Three strikes and you're out.
Three times a lady? I don't know.
Could be three strikes and you're out. That's it. Petro's back tomorrow. I'm Todd Lebo. I'm here today. By the way, Petro will be at the Bushnell Factory Outlet Store. Fun remote, always, when we do this before Father's Day. And they've got a very cool indoor golf simulator tomorrow. And they're going to have some contests during the show. So you can go win a disc golf rangefinder if you're the best at that. We'll talk more about that as we go. Welcome to it's here. It's hot. It's hot. Mm-hmm. We're getting into the summertime. Summer hasn't officially started yet. We're not far from it. It's only the 10th of June, which is everybody's birthday, I think. Happy birthday to El Presidente Chad Boger today.
Nice.
Is his birthday. And happy birthday to Dummy Dave. Dave Vorchert was in here yesterday. Happy birthday to him as well. And we're celebrating that with National Iced Tea Day. Milo's just stocked the fridge here.
Very nice.
And it's the tastiest iced tea you can get.
I like the
Green Label.
Yep.
Your green guy. It's the Johnny Walker Green, Johnny Walker Blue, whatever.
Yeah.
Milo's
best,
Green.
Bottled tea.
Yeah, it's very,
general
very
rule,
good.
I'm not a big fan of prepackaged tea.
Right.
Theirs is really strong.
Oh, it's awesome. And we're going to give away a couple of prize packs today. Not just yet, because we're starting the show. But maybe this hour. We'll give one away. How about this Milo's prize pack? High-quality, large, soft cooler, 5 gallons of Milo's, insulated tumbler, and 2 koozies. That's a good deal
there.
So they brew their tea fresh every day with real tea leaves. It's good, like you said.
Yeah,
this is the good stuff, and they've been making this stuff for like 75 years, and we're happy when they come by on National Iced Tea Day and load up the fridge here because we love our tea.
Mm-hmm.
Around here, we're all unsweet tea guys.
Yeah,
we got some sweet tea folks around, but we're unsweet tea guys. Green Label, we call it.
I'm unsweet. I like the unsweetened with the equal.
Yeah, you
not
sweeten
as
yourself.
As big a fan of the totally unsweet. I want some sweet to it, but yeah, I can't do
your sweetheart. We've all said that all the years.
That's what it is.
Here's what we've got on the show today. In the 2 o'clock hour, Bill Brandmeier from ShareWaves will be here. We'll be talking about the Blasters, which we did this a couple of years ago at Topgolf. Mm. It was a lot of fun.
It was.
Super cool event coming up at the end of the month, and Bill will fill us in on all that and everything that's happening with ShareWaves. We will play Stump the Chump, so Peter Yates Enoch will be here. Here's the deal, guys. Seren's not here, so maybe it's easier. Is it
Probably
easier when he's not here to win?
Some questions, huh?
I mean, the prizes are here.
Yeah.
So if you want to win, and it's a hint-free Thursday.
And we've gotten to the
all
point
hints.
Where we,
no
we're trying to get that stuff to you. Maybe, you know.
Yeah. We try.
Frank wants people to come out and
Jed doesn't try like it, but we're going to try to get it to you.
Jed,
so we
Jed
do have,
doesn't like anything. Jed's have, like Mikey in the Life cereal commercial.
Right now, Jed, I'm going to give you permission to stand up and walk out and fix this television for me. We had our screensaver pop up on the TV, and Jed's worried I'm going to play a soundbite. But the more important thing for me right now is to make sure the TV is unfrozen so we can watch the Women's College World Series Game 3, deciding game between Oklahoma and Florida State today. So good job, Jed.
Big game for the
big game.
The Sooners.
This is it right here. You win the game, you win. You lose, you lose. That's how it goes. The Sooners lost. They didn't get to play this last year because of COVID, but the year before they lost in walk-off fashion in the championship game. So we need to go out there and get a big win today. We were after it.
Boomer Sooner.
Yeah, it's too bad they're playing this in the afternoon. It's good for us. We get to sit here and watch it.
Yeah.
But it was really nice on Big ESPN the last couple of nights. Us, we're together on this thing. We're us here. We're
here. Our time.
It's our time,
Mr.
okay?
Band.
You love, you know, here's what happened. You like Missouri, right? Mm-hmm. I like Oklahoma. James Madison beat Missouri to go to the College World Series, and Oklahoma put them away. See, we're helping Missouri.
I don't dislike Oklahoma as much as I should.
Because I'm a nice guy. If you didn't know me, you'd probably hate him.
If you were a guy who was an Oklahoma fan who was really,
was a bad
really
person.
Annoying,
yeah, I'm a nice guy.
I might be more annoying, but they've cost Missouri some hardware.
They have. It's happened over the years. But we're rooting for our girls here. Oklahoma, Florida State, they're playing right now down in Oklahoma City, which too bad for everyone that the things in Oklahoma City and Oklahoma's there a lot. It kind of makes it an unfair deal having all the fans there. But it's also awesome. So, good.
Tough.
Good. I've got my eyeballs on Cary, North Carolina. We had Kyle Crooks on from UCM yesterday. They moved those games up today because it was going to rain. And the first game got to the ninth inning, and it's raining. And the tarp is on the field there. So at some point, the weather should clear up in North Carolina, and UCM will be out there trying to win this one and get to the championship series of that. The College World Series in Omaha will get underway next week because they got to get through the Super Regionals this weekend. So there's a lot of those spring sports in college getting over right now. And the news today in college athletics is there should be this afternoon a report from the College Football Playoff Executive Committee to vote to expand the playoff to a 12-team playoff. Now, this isn't done yet. It'll be a recommendation. They'll have to go through the meetings later this year in the end of the summer and have that discussion on whether or not they should do this. Here's the parameters of what is leaked out so far. 6 league champions. This is what we've wanted. If you win your league, you get in the playoff.
Yep.
Because we've had years where someone will win their league and not make the playoff. It's called the power what? Power 5.
Power
so
five.
That means there's a guaranteed champion of a league who's not a power 5 who gets to go to the playoff. I think that's good. And then talking about six at large teams, with that way you'll get your whatever 3-loss Alabama in there and they can go win another championship or whatever, right?
Give them the opportunity to.
It'll give them the chance.
Stuff them in there.
Blair Kirchhoff will be here later today in the 4 o'clock hour. That will be a big discussion point with Blair, that and the name, image, and likeness stuff that's happening there. So we'll watch that as we go throughout with what's happening in college athletics. This will not happen this year. This will not happen next year, according to all the talk out there. This is something that's down the road a little bit. They're 8 years into this college football playoff contract right now. So there's still, I think it was a 12-year deal to start with. That doesn't mean they can't scrap the last couple of years and switch it or whatever, but this is not something that will happen this year. I've said this before, I like football. I like important football. So give me more of that, that's fine. I think there is a balancing point where it's too much. You know, we don't need 64 teams in a college football playoff.
No.
Because I really do think you need to have the regular season really mean something. And I think...
But 4 isn't enough.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of an 8 guy, but if they want to go 12, that's fine too. I don't think that will water it down. That seems to me like there'll be byes, right? They'll probably have 4 byes, and then 8 teams will play to
reach the
others.
And then the argument will be, you know, some team, whoever's 5, will say they should have gotten a bye.
That's fine.
There's always going to be, no matter where you draw the line, there will be one team going, hey.
There definitely will, but I think we fix the line more and more because the line used to not exist. Because it would just be, we're going to vote somebody in, and could have 2 different teams voted in. And then they found a way to try to get some teams to play each other. That was great. Mm-hmm. And then they found a way to try to get 4 teams to play it out, and that's great. And now we're going to go a little bit further. So there'll be no, complaining.
I don't want to go past 16, but I would.
No, I don't either. I think we're good.
I think 16's fine.
Yeah, I'd be fine with 16. And if they wanted to do that, then you could say every league gets a champion in there and then only have like three at-larges. If they want to do it that way, I don't think that playoff's as good. I think at that point you'd have some beatdowns maybe.
Could.
We've had some beatdowns in this.
Yeah.
Best four teams.
There won't be a Villanova.
Probably not.
In football.
No.
A team coming out of nowhere is not going to win three games against better teams in that situation.
Plenty of details to work out on how this will work. But that, I think, is good, encouraging news because I like it. I like to have more good stuff. Chiefs today finished up their OTAs. They will have a mandatory mini camp coming up next week. We'll have availability 3 days next week, and then we won't hear from the Chiefs for a while. They are planning on having in-person stuff in St. Joseph. We don't have dates for that yet, but I think they'll have fans up there. They'll have all those things happening that did not happen last year, so I think that's going to happen. We do not have those dates yet, and there'll be a better chance for more people to go watch practice, see what's going on, because right now we're still playing under the same rules they had last year, where only a few people get to go out and actually look at practice, and you ask the questions. These are OTAs. It's just not...
You're not going to see much.
It's not much, and I think, honestly, they don't show you a whole lot of stuff that they don't mind you seeing. There's no secret stuff they're throwing out there when fans get to go watch, but people are excited about this team, and they were, I think last year in St. Joseph was going to be insane with the Chiefs being champs and all that, and this will be different this year. They're going to have people there, but I can't imagine it'll be exactly what it was in 2019.
2 years ago.
With autographs and all. I mean, it could there'll be some differences, yeah. I think. There's a lot of hoops to jump through, but the news today that we got from the Chiefs was, number one, Andy Reid was using a cane on the field today. He said, hey, man, I'm 60. 60 got me. But he didn't say he was really hurt or anything like that. But
he was moving pretty slow.
He was.
I saw the video of it, and he's not trotting.
No, he's not running around. It's OTAs, right? It's not the regular season. Harold Kuntz, our friend from Fox 4, had tweeted some video out of that if you'd like to go check out Andy with the cane. But news that happened yesterday, Kyle Long hurt his knee. Mm-hmm. We don't know exactly what it is because they don't say exactly what it is. But Coach Reid did give a little bit of an update on that injury suffered by Kyle Long, who a lot of people were hoping was going to be in the starting lineup. He's not out for this year or anything, but it is certainly not something they wanted to have happen.
Kyle hurt his knee. And we'll just see how he does here. It doesn't look like it's ligaments, but we'll see.
Any idea how long he'll be out? Any idea exactly what the injury is?
Yeah, they're going to look at it and determine it. Chance he has to have surgery on it, but we'll see. See where it's at.
There's a chance he has to have surgery. So,
any injury where there's a chance he has to have surgery is
sounds like he's going to have surgery.
Sounds like he's probably going to, or it's. I think they're optimistic.
You want me to guess what Andy Reid says? I think if there was no chance he was going to have surgery, he wouldn't have mentioned the word surgery.
Yes.
But when you say there's a chance he's going to have surgery, might have to have surgery. It could be just a little scope, a little meniscus, a little something. He didn't say what it was. He mentioned it didn't sound like a torn ligament.
No.
But I don't know what it is. This is someone who didn't play last year.
Yes.
And has been injured a lot. He's older.
I would be surprised if he's in the starting lineup against the Browns.
Me too, probably. That might have been the case to begin with. Because
I hope they're looking for somebody for a replacement for that spot.
Right, absolutely.
I'm sure they are.
This will give a chance for other people to step up. I don't think they had penciled anyone in to be starting right guard yet on this team. Maybe very light pencil.
No.
But
we do know someone who will be there.
That's right. That Laurent Duvernay-Tardif has not been there, okay? Mm-hmm. But Coach Reid did tell us today that he is expected to be at mandatory minicamp next week.
That's very nice.
Yeah, that is, because he hasn't been there. He opted out last year to go back home to Canada to work in the medical profession during COVID. You can't just go rolling back and forth between Canada right now, still in this, the NHL playoffs are happening. They've got a Canada pod in the playoffs. They're not going back and forth. The Blue Jays are still playing. They're in Buffalo now, right? They were in Florida before. Same thing's happening in MLS with games in between. So this is not a free and open border quite yet. So I don't think LDT was going to roll down here to do OTAs and go back and all that. But they do expect him to be here for mandatory minicamp next week. We'll see if that's the case. That's good news if it is. He's not played football, okay? He's been doing other things. This is someone who hasn't practiced, and we assume some of the guys who opted out were doing a lot of football stuff. I don't think LDT had time to go work on things.
No.
He was otherwise there. Occupied.
He was on business.
Yes. A different deal than some of the other opt-outs, but they expect LDT to be back next week. That's good. We'll hear from some other chiefs as we go throughout the day. Willie Gay spoke. Joe Tooney spoke. Jaron Reed spoke. And Coach Reed spoke. A little disappointing. Chris Jones was supposed to speak, but he didn't. He just stood around, didn't work out.
He didn't practice.
He didn't practice, so I guess that means you don't practice, you don't talk. He's generally a better soundbite than some of these. I'm not saying these aren't great soundbites, but they're not Chris Jones.
Yeah.
So
I'll say.
Go ahead and say, Curtis.
I'll say they aren't great soundbites, but
right.
They are good soundbites.
But they're good. We got some information in them.
When the head coach and players on the NFL team in town talk, it's important.
That's important. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So what's important now is the Royals, it's a real streak. We started this a few days ago with the definition of a streak, and that we're streaking.
Yeah.
The wrong way right now. Another run last night, right? Is that good?
No.
No? Not another run? Brad Keller was... If wasn't good enough, but I mean, even like really good wasn't going to be enough last night. If the Royals are going to score one run, that's not enough.
Yes.
You have to be, at this point, you have to go out there and throw a shutout, which does not happen for the Royals. They're not throwing shutouts for this Royals team to go even be competitive in a game. This is a lost series. Now, sometimes these things happen at, you know, midnight out there in the West Coast and people don't pay attention, but this is disturbing. They're still out West. They're going to be playing an A's team for the next 4 days who is in first place in this division, and they can't hit, but they can't hit, but they score more runs than the Royals, and they can really pitch. It's a bad combo for what's happening with the Royals, right. But let's hear a little bit from Mike Matheny last night. He said Keller actually had some pretty good stuff.
Oh, great. Thought it was one of his best fastballs he's had of the year. Really good sink and late action. You could tell by their swings, and he was using it on both sides, and then had good life to his forcing the two. That was some of his best stuff that he's had, and it just got hurt in the third, two-out walk, and things just start kind of rolling when you get to the middle of their lineup. It's a pretty dangerous part. He has some good hitters. Between that and then getting the 0-2 and the 6, and he's, you know, we're at that point just trying to stay close. 0-2 ball up in the zone ended up costing him. But for the most part, I thought he did a really nice job.
5 1/3, 8 hits, 4 walks. That's over a 2 whip, right? So that's not all that good. I guess it wasn't 8 runs or something like that, but it was.
And he again, and I mean, we have to kind of start questioning how long he stays in games. I mean, he kind of falls apart in the sixth inning there. And a couple of people whose opinions I respect on baseball have been on this air recently. Joe Sheehan, a couple of tweets last night, he said, I spend a good half hour a month screaming at Mike Matheny to take Brad Keller out before it's too late, and he never listens. He then said, another perfectly good start ruined by a manager who won't learn the limitations of his starter. Keller has 85 good pitches and then goes full pumpkin. And then Randy Gisarelli quote tweeted that and kind of went through Brad Keller's numbers through his career. First time through slash line, or at least a batting average on base and slug. 239, 324, 365. Second time through, 238, 306, 321.
Now tell me this next
third
one.
Third time
not
through,
good.
294, 361, 434. He said, I love Brad Keller, but he doesn't have a great third pitch, which means he doesn't have the weapons to retire a hitter three times. That was the joke of the third time through the lineup for you earlier. But, I mean, it happened again last night. I mean, it's...
It's frustrating.
Just because Brad Keller feels like he can pitch, at some point you have to realize that this guy can't go. He's not a 27 batter guy.
The bigger factor is the Royals scored a run again last night.
Yes.
Because at this point he had given up 2 in the third, so then you're toast. If you can only score one run, you get after it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem. This is pretty insightful stuff from Mike Matheny last night. He knows the margins are super, super thin for this offense.
First and in the fourth, that money on the table. And it affects this team. There's no question about it. We talk a lot about the importance. You know, you just don't want to leave money on the table when they're giving you opportunities. Second, it has a carryover effect on this team, maybe as much as any team I've ever been around. When we don't capitalize on those opportunities, it deflates. And that's something that we don't necessarily want to be true, but it is. And so just think increases the importance of our situation. I think we get guys in scoring position. We've got to figure out ways to put pressure on the defense and take what they're giving us. But, you know, I've got the guy out there with some swing and miss sliders. It's a lot easier said than done, but I know this group can get it done.
Said that this has a carryover effect, maybe more so than any team I've ever managed. Now, he's not Tommy Lasorda, you know, Whitey Herzog. I mean, he's managed a decade.
Yeah.
And so
plenty.
That's saying something, that this team
can't pick themselves up off the deck very, very easily.
He said it's deflating, and it's something that we don't like, but it's something that exists. So that's certainly something. That might be a reason why they've had losing streaks.
Maybe because if you have a chance, you don't score, and then you're in a funk for two innings before you try to get another chance. Early on,
or the next day.
Early on this year, I thought they absolutely ground and battled. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were scrapping for every single thing. We haven't seen that kind of battling, and you heard it right there from Skip that it just hasn't kind of been there. So that's a concerning thing. If you're getting yourself in your own head, even it kind of happened in that 11-game losing streak. Early on, mm-hmm. they were fights. I mean, they were going after these games. And then there was a stretch, and it's like, woof, you guys are even in it. And they played 27 innings. How long were the games competitive in Anaheim?
For 7 or 8 innings.
Yeah, if that. That might be generous.
Yeah, I mean, it was 4-2 in the middle, you know, or early to mid stages of the first game, and
but
then it got out of hand.
With the first game happening, you're like, that was really kind of not competitive for the beginning.
They're within two.
And they kind of came back.
It was competitive for a couple of innings.
But it was deflatingly competitive because of what happened with Coar.
It was competitive to the mid stages of the game 2 nights ago.
And last night, I guess,
and
to the fifth.
Last night, it was competitive.
But doesn't 2-0 feel
innings.
Like 9-0?
Yes.
I mean, it just
especially,
does.
Especially, you know, because as you said, it piles on. And had last night's game been game one, you wouldn't have felt like there was the impending doom. But the fact that they had the nights they had offensively the previous 4 nights and, you know, had things go the way they had gone, you did kind of feel like it. 2-0, crap. And once it got to... I think it was 3, then it was 3 first, and it was
3 like, came after 2?
No, I couldn't remember if it was ever 4-0.
Right, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
In any stage where you could you know, put up a marker.
Right.
But once you got to that point, you're like, they're not coming
back. Yeah, they're not going to come back, and it's a rough deal. Now, they're out to Oakland now. Mike Minor's on the hill. Mike Minor is, you know what you're getting out of him, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
Consistency, a little bit. You may
innings,
not like but
you know what?
I don't know.
Another thing from last night I noticed even guys like Carlos Santana, who's, you know, as veteran a hitter as you're going to find, starting to press a bit. He's mm-hmm. starting to swing at pitches that you
He's
wouldn't
not
normally
drawing those
swing
walks,
at.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's a big development to watch. Because if he starts to slide, you know, if the bubbles start coming up on him, then that could wreak havoc on that offense. Because they seem to be taking, when they're going well, they seem to be taking their cues from the way he approaches the game at the plate. And if he starts falling apart in that regard, who knows how deep that's going to run.
The A's have an ERA about three-quarters of a run better than the Royals. That's not good news. Their batting average is atrocious, but they score more runs than the Royals.
They're a
better cohesive baseball team than the Royals.
Yeah.
Maybe tonight's the night because they don't have, you know, maybe their best on the hill. Montas has a 4.5 ERA. It's welcomed in a lot of places, but maybe
what's
not.
What's the area of the guy the Royals are trying out there?
Yeah, it's a little much better than that. We'll see how it goes. 4 out there, it's going to be tough, but we'll see if they can get one going tonight, get it started. We are started here on the program. We will talk much more baseball with Jeff Passan in the 5 o'clock hour from ESPN, including a very long story he's written about substances on on the ball for pitchers, which is pretty interesting. So it'll be a nice topic to talk to Jeff about. And we'll talk to him about the Royals as well. And we'll talk to you also about the Royals, about the Chiefs. Sporting KC's back in action this weekend. We'll hear from Peter Vermees a little bit later. 913-3810-810. 913-3810-810. You can also send us a text at 913-912-4810. We are underway on the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
I never thought I'd be engaged with somebody who threw balls for a living. Yeah, when I grew up, I'm going to marry someone who throws balls. Yeah!
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back into the program. Todd Lebo in for Soren Petro. Jed's very excited. The Sooners are up 1-0.
Oh,
in the Women's College World Series.
Likely
top
source
of two.
For your first run.
Yeah, a little home run.
Boomer.
From Jocelyn Allo, her 7,000th of the year. I don't know. No doubter. We're taking phone calls right now, talking Royals, Chiefs, whatever you'd like to talk about. 913-3810-810 is the phone number. We're going first to Jay. Hello, Jay. Jazoo Jay.
Hey, thanks for taking a call. I love your guys' show, whether it's you, Todd, or Soren, or whomever. You, Curtis, and Jed do a... All of you guys do a great job.
Appreciate that.
Thanks for entertaining us.
Appreciate that.
Wanted to weigh in on the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm a little worried, guys, as a diehard Chiefs fan, when I look out over the horizon. A question and a comment for you. Comment is, Julio Jones, to me, him going to the Titans, in my opinion, boosts the Tennessee Titans from maybe a 3-4, if you were to rank the AFC. I put them neck and neck with the Bills and maybe a step higher than the Bills now that they have Julio Jones, because that's a monster out there that is, I would put a half a peg under the Chiefs at this point. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, I think he's a difference maker for sure. There's no doubt about that. But, I mean, it's not like they went to 7 Super Bowls in Atlanta, you know, and they were a good team. They went to a Super Bowl. They should have won a Super Bowl. They didn't go a whole bunch, and they've got Matt Ryan's a good quarterback. He's good.
The Titans' problem is still on defense. I mean, they allowed 27 a game last year, and that may not be as bad as it would have been in some years, but they're going to have to score 30 points a game if they're going to.
They had some wild ones last year for sure. They absolutely had some wild ones.
They scored 31, almost 31 a game, and they went 11-5. I mean, are they really going to score? I mean, how many more points a game are they going to score with Julio Jones than 31?
He's legit, though.
Oh, he's legit, but I'm saying it's a team that scored 24 points a game that gets Julio Jones. I see more, you know, he'll make a bigger imprint on, I think. A team that's already 31, I mean, how many more points can they score?
Yeah, totally fair. We'll see. I just think if I'm being a Chiefs fan that I am, I say, ooh, that could be a problem. And I'll ask you guys this.
Especially with A.J. Brown on the other side.
Absolutely, and you've got Derrick Henry. And so I'll ask you this, though. I don't think this Aaron Rodgers situation is getting any better in Green Bay. And I don't see him showing up magically one day or what have you. And John Elway seems to be the quarterback whisperer if you look at his track record with Peyton Manning and maybe Joe Flacco to an extent. I know he's not the same caliber. Please tell me that Aaron Rodgers isn't going to end up in Denver, because if that's the case, now the AFC West gets real hard, and Tennessee Titans will be the least of our worries. That becomes a tough, tough division. Where do you guys see Aaron Rodgers going? And tell me that he's not going to go to Denver. Thanks for taking the call, guys.
Thanks, Jay. Appreciate that. He could stay in Green Bay. It's not good. I mean, it's a bad situation. No. It's ugly. It's public. It's ugly. And I agree. I'd rather have him not go to Denver. I mean, because John Elway, for being the quarterback whisperer with himself and Peyton Manning, has been atrocious at being the quarterback whisperer with guys who aren't Hall of Famers.
Right.
Okay? Because the Broncos were just kind of for a long time there, until Peyton Manning walked in and took a team that Tim Tebow had before that won a playoff game. They were an 8-8 team won a playoff game, okay?
Sucks.
And then they went and got boat raced on the road when they played a legit team by the Patriots.
As soon as they played a good team, they got smoked.
They got killed in that game. So Peyton Manning took that team and made them a multiple Super Bowl team. And mm-hmm. a team in his first year, that was the year they lost
first
that wild
lost,
game with to Joe Flacco. He threw a crazy pass in overtime or whatever. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable game, right? But they were, I mean, they were real.
Yeah.
But the Chiefs got real with them. They just didn't have that quarterback. Alex Smith's fine. He's not Peyton Manning, even old Peyton Manning.
Right.
But you recall in Peyton Manning's last year, he had lost his job. The Chiefs had embarrassed him.
Yeah.
Up in
his
in
record-breaking
Denver.
Game,
yes.
He threw four picks or something like that.
It was not good.
Was
and
done.
Then he ends up coming back in, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't say that he was the reason they won the Super Bowl. It was mostly about their defense. The Chiefs had a better record in the AFC West than the Broncos did that year.
Yeah.
It's wild. Okay, but you know what they didn't do? Mm. They didn't beat the Broncos enough.
Right.
And
that was like the Raiders that one year were unbeaten and didn't go to the in the AFC West.
Yes.
Didn't go to the playoffs.
Didn't go to the playoffs. It can happen. You got to win the right games. I agree that Aaron Rodgers would upgrade their quarterback position a lot because I think they've got some talented guys.
They
got some talented guys on that team. So if that happens, that would be not the worst news for the Chiefs, but I think it would be make this division just awesome to watch because I think the Chargers are fun with Justin Herbert. I think they're fun to watch. And the Raiders, hey, listen, the Raiders beat the Chiefs last year. They did that one time, and they took them to the
and
wire.
Almost beat them the second time.
Almost beat them the second time.
They seem to have some kind of little
some pretty good
kind of
rivalry
elixir to hold that to hold them down and to score some
There
points.
Has not been much drama in the Broncos games, and I'd like to keep it that way.
11 straight, and most of them have not been competitive. But I to listen to Kareem Jackson talk, Deshaun Watson's going to Denver, isn't he?
So yeah, well, this is what they say.
Who knows?
Who would you rather have as a Chiefs fan, not forever, okay, mm-hmm. because Deshaun Watson's a lot younger, for the next 3 years, who would you rather have as a Chiefs fan quarterback in the Broncos, Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers?
I think I would take Deshaun Watson.
I would, too. Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, man.
Yeah.
They've done all right against Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. And shown when he's highly motivated, and he can. I mean, he still has it. The guy did win the MVP last year.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's really, really good.
He wasn't really starting to slide.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, Andy Reid was asked about Aaron Rodgers today. Not particularly. Sam Mellinger asked him a question about just kind of being the way things seem to be a little happier around Kansas City. And he didn't want to talk about Green Bay, really, or what's going on up there. But it's a story around the league, no doubt about that. Okay, here's the deal. Bill Brandmeier from Sharewaves is here. We're going to talk about the Blasters coming up. But as we go to break, callers 8 and 10, both of you, will get a Milo's gift pack. This is a very cool prize pack. It's National Iced Tea Day. Callers 8 and 10 will get this cool prize pack from Milo's, courtesy of the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
This drama contains adult language. Discretion is advised.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back into the program. I'm Todd Lebo in for Soren Petro. Jed Marshall's here. Curtis Siebold is here. And now Bill Brandmeier from Sharewaves is here.
We've been doing Sharewaves for about 2.5 years, almost 3 years now, and I feel like now is our coming out party.
Ready to go.
Yeah, well, we are ready to play.
Absolutely. We've been grinding through. And it was, you know, last year was so weird with the pandemic. We did this event a couple of summers ago at Top Golf with Blasters. It was a lot of fun because It's an easy way. We do a lot of golf tournaments and things like that. Not everyone wants to go play full golf. This is a great way to have a fun night and get it done. Tell me this year what's happening at Blasters.
The thing I love about Top Golf and what we do at the Blasters is it's a true gauge of your skills in target golf. The best golfers win at every level because that's how the game is set up. We are bringing out some of the best golfers in Kansas City. They're forming teams. We're doing a six-man scramble, and then we're doing an individual Blasters Championship. We have an 18 and under division, a 14 and under division, an amateur division, and then the Battle of the Bays. It's June 27th at Top Golf, and it's featuring one of the best golfers of all time.
Well, who's that?
Tom Watson is going to be at the Blasters.
Never heard of him. Never heard of him. That is awesome. How'd you work that out with Tom to come?
I tell you what, Tom is a lover of youth golf. We are supporting youth golf by helping raise money for First Tee, which is an incredible program. They teach 9 principles of character through golf. And then this other organization that's part of Central Links. And Central Links runs all the golf tournaments in Kansas City. They have a youth program called Youth on Course, where you pay $5. Every kid pays $5, and they get 18 holes of any golf courses throughout the city. And they supplement the price of a junior golfer so that the kids only have to pay $5 to really enjoy golf in the way you're supposed to, which is on the course, playing the game, learning strategy, learning life lessons, and really cultivating a lifelong love of golf for these kids. And that's what this is all about, bringing kids together, getting them out of this COVID restriction, this year of lost development, getting them back out into the wide open air, safe and effective, and learning life skills through sports, because ShareWaves is trying to promote life skills through sports.
Bill Brandmeier from ShareWaves is our guest here on the program. The event is Sunday, 5:00 at night. It's going to be a nice night. It's guaranteed to be cool. Nice.
They're air-conditioned bays.
Always shady at Topgolf because they built it to where the sun goes down the other way. It's always good.
Yep.
Sunday, June 27th, 5:00. It's at Topgolf in Overland Park. It's just down on the south side of town, 435 and Knoll. If you want to get involved, there's lots of ways. They have corporate bay sponsorships. You've got single golfers for adults. You got VIP spectator tickets, and you've got junior golfer tickets as well. So get a team together. You can do lots of different ways. All the information is right there for you at BlastersKC.com.
BlastersKC.com. It's amazing, all these different golfers that are coming forward. People are forming the best 6-man teams they can find. They want to win the Blasters Battle of the Bays. People want to win that, so that's how you get in. If you buy a bay, then you get 12 tickets to the event. So you get to bring your guest, your caddy, so to speak. You know, the golfer and then the caddy, whoever that is. Form your teams. Get out there. Let's play some golf. We have individual golfers. We're going to put them into bays. They're going to play in Battle of the Bays, whether they like it or not. And then they're also going to battle for the individual championship. We have got great prizes and some awesome memorabilia. We're going to have John Bucati there painting live, Tom Watson, and a host of star-studded celebrities are going to join us. All of the folks here at 810 will be there, and we really want Kansas City to come out and really support this, because not only are we raising money to support these two awesome organizations, but ShareWaves has an initiative that is about funding kids into sports. We're partnering with organizations that are mentor-mentee programs, and we are providing the mentors with access to microfunding grants. These microfunding grants can be used for anything that will connect a kid to sports, whether it be league fees or equipment or the right pair of shoes, or maybe they just need a night out at the ballpark and go see the Kansas City Monarchs play. And we want to fund those kind of things because we want kids connected to this great environment that Kansas City is, which is sports. We're all about it. We're all about it here at 810. That's why 810 is fully behind the ShareWaves initiatives and what we're doing. And that's why we want Kansas City to come support the Blasters. It is a blast unlike any other.
BlastersKC.com is how you get tickets for that. How can people get involved with ShareWaves if they own a company, they work for a company, or individually they'd like to get involved with ShareWaves?
So the ShareWavesFoundation.org website will give you all the information you need, what we're planning on doing, what our initiatives are all about. We have 5 key initiatives. The microfunding grant is one of them. We want to get kids ready to play, so we have a ready-to-play initiative. This is all about giving kids technical training and helping supplement some of the lost time that they've had during the COVID restrictions. We need to make up for a whole year of lost development, not only physically, not only skills development, but also the social psychological loss that they had, where they disconnected from society, disconnected from their friends, from their coaches, from their teams. These kids need help. Whether you like it or not, kids have suffered through COVID. And you can't just rely on the old way of letting them be babysat by people. We need to up the ante and give kids quality sports experiences, level the playing field. You should get the same experience in Wyandotte that you get in Johnson County, and that's just not the way it is today. ShareWaves is trying to change that. We want to change the idea of how youth sports is looked at. Everyone should have a quality sports experience, and that's what ShareWaves is trying to do.
Anecdotally, what sort of stories have you heard over the last 6 months or a year about, you know, kids' sports being kind of shut down or not being able to get out and go?
The worst case is what happened in Wyandotte. All the kids were separated from sports. No one's fault. Trying to keep things safe, trying to keep people safe. They shut down community centers. They shut down any kind of facilities that would train kids. Kids were also not allowed to go outside the district to get special training because that was going to jeopardize their eligibility. So these kids sat on the sidelines while every other high school in the city played sports, and they just sat there. And the middle schoolers really had no PE. You know, you talk about the national requirement of 60 minutes a day. not happening. It's not happening. And it's not happening in normal times. But during COVID, of course, you know, they were parents had to work. Kids were left at home and they were just abandoned. There are some sad stories. You know, you can just reach out and make a phone call to Pastor Adrian Roberson, who runs Unite KC, KC United, I'm sorry. It's a Wyandotte County nonprofit that gives kids football and cheerleading, and they help parents, and they actually do STEM training. Just an incredible organization. And his group, you know, they had to disconnect from their kids all year, and they served 800 kids a year. I mean, it's like, what? We have to help them. We have to help them. We have to help other organizations. We just invested in a gentleman named Tony Temple. People may know him. He was famous running back for MU and for Rockhurst. He's doing incredible work for kids in the inner city, and we're helping him out. We're working with Jerron Rush, another former athlete who is helping kids engage with sports. We are helping individuals and organizations come alongside them. They think like we do. We want to help them. That's what Shareways is trying to do, and uplift this whole idea that youth should be a level playing field. They should play on the same fields. They should experience the same kind of training, the same kind of experience. And it shouldn't be that the privileged get access and the underprivileged don't.
One of the ways you can help out is to participate in the Blasters. KC Blaster, BlastersKC.com. BlastersKC.com. It's going to be Sunday at Top Golf down here on the south side of town. A lot of fun. You can come out. You can just come out and watch if you want. You can come out and play. We'd love to have you play, get a whole bay, get all your friends out there and have a good time, because this money raised goes to these programs you're talking about, and it should be a great time. Tom Watson is going to be there, which is really cool, and you know, like some of us are going to be there. That's not quite as cool as Tom Watson being there. As I recall, I don't remember which one of us was the best golfer from the on-air guys. I'm pretty good at Top Golf. I'm all right at that. I've got that little perfect game for Top Golf. I don't like to go for the back target. I'm right there in the middle. That sweet spot is where my game is.
When I was on the Border Patrol, Jake and Nate decided they were going to do a little contest. So we got Nate and Jake kind of battling out. We might as well just get everyone into this and see who is the best golfer here at the station and really kind of challenge us all, because that's what this is all about. And it is a true test of your golf skills. I've had incredible people step up to help me. I've had a woman, Janine Young. She lives in Florida, but she loves Kansas City golf. She was actually Tom Watson's trainer for 17 years or something. She's moved away, but she's flying back in for the Blasters, and she is bringing so many of her friends, the young golfers that she's worked with, all the people that she's engaged with. We've got Kevin Ward, who's helping us, Golf Underground. He's on our station. He's the golf expert for Kansas City. He actually won the national Top Golf Championship with Chris Mabry, who's a pro out at Lake Quivira. And this is the kind of golfer we're going to have there. If you want to see beautiful golf swings, buy a spectator ticket and get at this event. We also want to talk about the juniors. The juniors, 18 and under, 14 and under, it's only $100 to get a junior into this tournament. We want juniors to come out and compete. You get to bring your caddy, so it's two for one. You get to bring your mom, dad, sister, brother, come with. Go in, play the Blasters, win cool prizes, and be the Blasters champion for the junior division, and it's amazing. So I'm just super excited. Can you tell?
Can you
tell?
I can't ever tell. You never sound excited, Bill, when you come in and tell us these things. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you want to see a great golf swing, courtesy Bolt. Smooth as silk. Smooth as silk.
I've said I've spent as much time in outer space as I have playing golf.
Hey, we got some good news today. The Kauffman Foundation stepped up to help Sharewaves. We're going to help with our pilot study with our Ready to Play initiative for the kids at KCK. We need some more help. So join us. Watch us. We'll see what happens. Shareways is going to continue to impact this community with the power of sports, because sports has the power to connect.
That's awesome. Bill Brandmeier from Shareways right here on the program. More information, you can get your tickets right there online at blasterskc.com. It's coming up here at June 27th.
I'd like to thank the program for all they do for me. Thank you, program.
The Jazz End of the Hour Question on the Half Shell. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
All right, how many number one overall draft picks have played for the Royals? brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.